friends with the monster.
Oh, he's a monster.
I'm sitting there tweeting. Big, big, big tweeting.
I love you. It's a guy, but I love you.
643, the number one Washington Nationals fan. And he's thrilled about Aaron Rodgers' new Packers deal.
Mm-hmm.
Is my friend Chuck Todd from Meet the Press, the 1947 podcast, and MTP Daily. Is Aaron Rodgers giving you any of his money?
Here's what I want to do. I hope to pay him money someday. I think he should be a Meet the Press contributor in the offseason. I'd make him a contributor. So I actually think,
you know what,
a little bit more.
I would love to see the meeting where you, who nobody tells Chuck Todd what to do, but I'd love to see the meeting where Chuck Todd sits down with NBC News executives and explains why Aaron Rodgers is on Meet the Press every week.
Yeah, right. I think they would. I think they'd be okay with that.
Oh, yeah,
Aaron Rodgers agreed. It's Middle America.
I will tell you this. The average bag of upscale cheese curds in Wisconsin is $7. He can now afford 5 million bags of cheese curds every season, huh? How about that?
Well, it's going to be the tariff war with Canada, so he's going to need the extra money.
That's right. Cheese curd price is going through the roof.
Way through the roof there. That's going to be a problem.
Meanwhile, for people that didn't see Meet the Press last Sunday or haven't seen you this week much or heard from you this week much, you got a favorite McCain story you're telling folks?
Oh, there's a lot. I think my favorite thing about these remembrances of John McCain are the fact that my story, my first interaction with John McCain, is so similar to everybody else's first interaction with John McCain, which to me says a lot about him. For a lot of us young reporters in Washington, in different ways, John McCain was the first big-name person that would take our questions. You know, a lot of times when you're the young cub reporter, you're the young reporter, you're big-footed all the time. So that my first time, I got him to do an internet chat at the Republican convention in 96. I was working for a political website. We just started it called Politics Now at the time. And for what it's worth, this was the internet, 1996, chat interview. I have McCain sitting next to me. I'm at the computer. We're taking questions, and I'm typing the answers for him. And he goes, "All right, scumbag, let's do this." You know, that type of thing. and that's like the first time. You know, here I am. I'm literally, this is 24-year-old me. You know, and I'm like, my God, John McCain just said, yes, he'd do this. Back then, the only people online were libertarians.
Yeah,
the five
that?
Libertarians.
How about that?
So it was.
That's a great story.
But the point is that every reporter of my generation has a similar story. Where basically the first time a serious Jake Tapper will tell you this, one of the first sort of big time politicians to take him seriously, John McCain.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, I think anybody that had a personal experience with him on any level, including just having the opportunity to shake his hand, has fond memories.
A snob. That's the beauty of this guy. He just wasn't a snob.
Exactly.
He never looked down on anybody.
Yeah.
He didn't look down on anybody.
Yeah, totally agree.
Anyway.
I heard something amusing this morning. Ari Fleischer, who I've had generally good experience with over the years, was on Fox this morning and complaining about five mistakes CNN has made about Donald Trump, mm-hmm. a guy who has been a confirmed liar 5,000 times. And by the way, of those five mistakes, CNN, to my knowledge, corrected four of the five and is claiming the other one is still true. So that scorecard pretty much in favor of the media, if you ask me.
Well, look, this is just part. I mean, it's sad to see Ari Fleischer participating in this,
I agree.
In what this is. This is a campaign to look, this has been a 40-year campaign to delegitimize the mainstream American press. Right? I could go through the history of this. It all started essentially with a whole bunch of Nixon foot soldiers who believe it was the press that somehow drummed out Richard Nixon, not Richard Nixon committing crimes. And who was a young Nixon foot soldier back then? Roger Ailes. Right. And he created the machinery.
Right.
Today that is, he built an entire he built an entire media organization based on attacking news organizations. I mean, if you really look at it,
that's absolutely true.
The heart and soul of that media organization is through that. There are some there are some people over there that practice good journalism. Don't get me wrong. But what was the intent of the organization? Right. It was to essentially convince people that the professional news organizations we're not, you know, we're not, you know, we're fake or we're biased or some form, just because they told you so.
I still feel like
you say it long enough for 30 years.
Yeah,
say exactly. It long enough for 30 years, and you know, there you go.
Traction will happen. I still feel like if Roger Ailes were still alive, he'd at least pick up the phone of Trump and go, "Hey, dial it down, Big Mouth." You know, you're
it's
even
true. I don't think Roger Ailes would be signing off on some of the things Tucker Carlson's done.
Yeah, completely. All right, so a couple of things that are, as far as I'm concerned, vitally important this morning. One is the normalization of the outrage that we have. I get it. People are numb to so much now because it's the crap that gets stirred up every day. But we had 1,000 more people die in Puerto Rico than died from Hurricane Katrina. And by the way, the anniversary of Hurricane Katrina is this week as well. And the president has said nothing. And yesterday repeated the fact after the new death toll was announced, said we did great. What the hell? How is that okay?
I don't want to just make the president accountable on this. I'm disappointed in the entire elected leadership of government on this. Okay? You know, I would say this. I feel like about 3 people every day wake up and worry about Puerto Rico that I've noticed in political Washington. Marco Rubio in Florida, Luis Gutierrez, your congressman there, one of your congressmen there in Chicago, and Nydia Velasquez, a congresswoman in New York City. Now, Nydia Velasquez and Luis Gutierrez are Puerto Rican, and Marco Rubio has a lot of Puerto Rican constituents. So in some ways, these are the representatives that Puerto Rico doesn't have representation, essentially, right? Powerful representation. So they have to reach out to people who have connectivity to Puerto Rico. But where is everybody here? It's not just the president.
He could
lean into it. But we have just sort of, because it's an island, it's not a state. You know, I hate to say this, but let's be frank here. Let's quote John McCain. Let's have some straight talk. If Puerto Rico had an electoral vote, do you think they'd have power? Do you think the power would have been restored quicker?
Absolutely.
Okay. Do you think if Puerto Rico had an electoral vote, do you think there'd be more people screaming to the federal government and do something about it?
Every day.
Exactly. I have to tell you, the best case for statehood has taken place over the last year. If I lived in Puerto Rico, it would be like statehood. It's the only shot we got.
Right.
You know.
Otherwise, government
can't act independently.
Yeah, otherwise, why be American citizens?
Why be American citizens? What's the point? If you're not going to get treated like an American citizen in a time of need like Hurricane Maria, then either, you know, it's either independence or statehood, because this Commonwealth business is not serving Puerto Ricans at all.
And
let's be realistic. They're not treated as equal citizens.
And while the Mueller report continues to cook and the Trump meltdown on Twitter continues, I think there were 30 tweets yesterday, he also incited violence publicly after a tape picked him up a couple of days ago. Yesterday talked about how if Republicans lose the midterms, there will be violence in the streets started by Democrats. This is the president of the United States. And again, nobody stood up and said anything. Talk about leadership. You know, Mitch McConnell apparently is still in the witness protection program. Paul Ryan, who's not gone yet. Nobody says anything.
No, you're right about the numb, right? Everybody, and look, it's my instinct. You know, look, there's times where he's just the mumbler. You know, he's no different than, you know, the guy. There's a guy that's been holding up a sign protesting the federal government across from the Naval Observatory where the vice president lives, essentially for the entire 20 years that I've been traveling down that road in Massachusetts Avenue. Mm-hmm. Claims he's got, you know, the CIA has implanted the radio waves, you know, of course, in the teeth somewhere.
Yeah, of course.
Right, you know, and I actually think there's too many of our elected leaders sometimes just walk in the same way you walk past that person really fast, right? Because they're yelling at you like, oh, my God.
It's unpleasant. You want to look away.
You want to look away. I feel like that when the president tweets some of this crazy stuff and ridiculous stuff and made-up stuff, you know, we're so, everybody is exhausted from calling it out. So you're just like, yeah, hurry up, walk faster, hurry up. You know, if you walk faster, you won't hear it anymore. Right. And that's been the Paul Ryan method, you know, right. Stick the head in the sand and just walk away. I get it. I get the instinct. And I but the thing is that it, confronting it, what good has that done? Too, when you call it out, it, in this in which it hasn't had any desired effect, because when you call it out, you want others to do something about it. But if the elected leaders are going to do nothing about it, then what do you do, right? We're, so we're in this sort of vicious cycle. I don't have the right answer, but I know that that this coverage of the president and this Twitter feed isn't working.
Yeah, and I look, every day the presidency is debased. And if you think he just snaps back at some point because there's not a lunatic in the White House, it's going to take a generation to fix this damage.
Yeah, I really think we're lowering. I agree. I think we've lowered the bar of what is respectable decorum in American politics. I've seen it. I mean, I'm sorry. I'm not going to name names, but I think this has been, let's just say, one of the lower class election cycles I've ever observed, and I'll just leave it at that. Just the amount of antipathy, the lack of treatment of people, you know, that disagree with you with respect. You know, there's still some good people out there doing it the right way, but the permission slip that the president is given to act like a jackass. And to have it rewarded, not punished. I mean, just look at that clown show that was in Arizona with the Arpaio and Kelly Ward. Like, the fact that that was even, the fact that they got, I love that Eric Erickson tweeted it, how the heck are there 35% of Arizona Republicans who think either one of those two people is stable enough to be your neighbor, let alone a United States senator?
Yeah, no, 1,000%. Aaron Rodgers, $35 million a year average. It's probably more than that. He could buy a ticket, a beer, or a soda, and a brat for all 81,000 people at Lambeau Field for four games this year.
By the way, knowing Aaron Rodgers, he might actually do it once. All I want is one. Give him one shot at Brady. Give him one shot at Brady. Please give him one shot at Brady McCarthy. Don't screw this up, Mike McCarthy. Don't screw this up. Sorry.
It's just a boy in his dream. That's all.
It kills me that Tom Brady, I'm glad he's becoming a weirdo, because Aaron Rodgers is not as weird as Brady. So maybe history will be kinder to Aaron Rodgers and people will realize, yeah, he was more normal and he probably was a better quarterback.
Wait till they roll out his trainer and his special diet he's on. Then you're going to hear.
All right.
By the way,
right.
Packers-Bears opening night. Oh, we are tanned, rested, and ready in Chicago.
You know, your Bears are going to be so much fun to watch. They're going to be a fun – they're probably going to finish last, although I think they're going to finish ahead of the Lions.
Yeah, great.
They're going to be fun to watch. Yeah. You know, you're not quite there yet, but it'll be fun.
I'd hate to see your Packers lose twice to the Bears this year. That would hurt me because, you know
I always have hated the Vikings more. I can't get worked up about the Bears because they've not been good most of my life.
Yeah, I understand. We'll see you later.
Okay.
All right, thanks, buddy. I appreciate it. That's Jack Todd from NBC News.